This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Almost a decade ago, singer-songwriter Recy Palmer exploded into the country music spotlight. Her debut single, Country Girl, made her the first African-American woman in almost 20 years to hit Billboard's country charts. After disagreements with her label, she spent some time offstage working on other creative projects and starting a family, which one might consider a creative project all of its own. She is living in Raleigh now. She is making music on her own terms. And last year, she released the EP Back Porch Sessions and is now working on a forthcoming album called Revival. She's going to be performing at a number of venues around the state this summer, including Durham Central Park tonight at 5:30. But first joins me in the studio, Recy Palmer. Welcome to State of Things. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And you brought your guitarist, Charles Newkirk, along with you. Charles, thank you for being here as well. We didn't give him a mic.
No, he didn't want one.
He's just the guitarist.
He's being mute today. I don't know what the deal is.
Take us back to your start in country music. You've been singing since you were a kid, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. I started singing when I was actually my daughter's age, when I was about five, in the church choir. I was too short to reach the microphone, so I used to stand on a milk crate so I could sing my solos. The country music comes from my mother. My mom was a huge country music fan, actually. And, you know, a lot of my listening growing up was a mixture of country and R&B. And, like, her favorite singer was Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never considered it strange or weird or anything. Like, it always was kind of a part of what I did, what we did.
Yeah, well, that's it. If your mom is loving the music, this is why you should love it.
Yeah.
And it's good music.
Oh, it's
Patsy
great
Cline,
music,
right?
Yes.
I mean, so you're listening to great stuff. You ended up in Nashville at a pretty young age. Tell us about that.
Yes, I left college, much to my parents' chagrin.
Yeah.
I left college right in the middle of my freshman year, actually, because I got a publishing deal. And with my then managers, I moved to Atlanta and started commuting back and forth so I could write. And I still write in Nashville to this day. I just started writing songs for other artists is how it started, because they were like, you know, you need to figure out what your voice is and what your sound is and that sort of thing. And yeah,
you need to figure that out so that when the record company comes
yes.
to change all that, you'll know
right.
exactly what you've lost.
When they tell you who
lost.
You are, yeah, then you can lament.
I've got a million questions to ask you because I know you worked with Taylor Swift. I want to talk about Country Girl, but I really want to hear some music. Would you play
some
for us? Yeah.
All right, so we're going to play the single from Back Porch Sessions. It's called Sweet, Sweet Lovin'. Na, 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 na. My bacon from the butcher, getting my eggs from the farm, getting my strength from my daddy's smart mouth from my mama, getting my word from the preacher, my money from the bank, for all of my good home training, got my granny to thank. When I need kissing and hugging, getting my sweet, sweet loving from you, I do, hey, I sure do, getting my sweet. Touch of your hand on small on my back, feel your lips on my neck. I don't know how to act. You make me wanna be faithful, stay honest and true. No one else can be quite the way that you do. Cause when you call, I come running. sweet, sweet loving from you.
That is singer-songwriter Reese Palmer along with guitarist Charles Newkirk performing Sweet, Sweet Lovin'. Reese's going to be at Durham Central Park performing tonight, 5:30, and at Dorothea Dix Park in Raleigh, Saturday, July 23rd. Great song. That's coming up. That's on the new album?
Yes, that's on Backport Sessions.
Okay. Oh, that's on Backport Sessions.
Yeah, that's on Backport Sessions.
Out. Now, so tell me about this, because I did that thing that I want to ask you about. Country Girl, it charts,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a hit all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But it now includes, in your case, the statement in every story about
yes.
it, the first African-American woman in almost 20 years to chart on the Billboard. How did you manage all that kind of publicity?
You know, it was kind of a double-edged sword, to be perfectly honest with you, especially looking back on it now. At the time, I was just excited that people wanted to write about it and talk about it. But, you know, I read a lot of those articles, and it's like the focus was my race. Oh, she's black. She's African-American. How does it feel to be an African-American? And blah, blah, blah. And all these things. And it's like, you know, that's wonderful. And it's a great superlative and that sort of thing. But I think it kind of, in a lot of ways, overshadowed the fact that I am a songwriter and I am a personality and like all these other things other than just being an African-American woman that charted on the country chart.
And it charted on the
yes.
country chart. So I've got a hit, okay?
Right.
Well, and you also played alongside Taylor Swift.
I did. Actually, I remember when she, we used to ride coach down Southwest. Like, I remember it vividly. Like, her, hey, Taylor. And, like, we just walk back, and she's like, hi. And we... It's so surreal to see her now. Like, you know, she's larger than life.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, at the time, she was just another girl singer starting out. Like, every country artist, when you start out, you have to do the rounds, the radio tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up in, like, 5 or 6 cities a week. And you see everybody on Southwest because Southwest was the cheapest at the time. So
right.
you see everybody. Like, oh, hey, look, Brian. Like, it's just, like, whatever. And so you're just riding around. And it's, like, kind of like family because you see everybody at the
yeah.
airport sitting and waiting.
She could kind of own Southwest now.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I did. I had ridiculous amounts of drink tickets for a long time. Like,
will you do another song for us?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's do anything but yours. This is also from, no, I'm sorry. Not Afraid of the Dark. My bad. This is from the children's album, Best Day Ever, and this is the final song on that album. Sometimes the night plays tricks on my mind and makes me believe that everything's fine. I can start to believe in scary bad dreams and monsters and shadows and things I can't see. But I've got the light of the moon. I've got stars in the sky. Someone who loves me all of the time. Someone who hears the prayers of my heart. So I'm not afraid of the dark. No, I'm not afraid of the dark. There's light coming. Crack in the door, and the things I imagined aren't there anymore. I can see just enough that I'm not scared of that stuff. I remember I've always been wrapped up. Stars in the sky. Someone who loves me all of the time. Someone who hears the prayers of my heart. So I'm not afraid. No, I'm not afraid. 'Cause the sun is gonna rise. dark. Oh, no, no, I'm not afraid of the dark.
Not Afraid of the Dark, Reese Palmer with guitarist Charles Newkirk performing a song from the album Best Day Ever.
Yes.
Is that at the Children's? I want to ask you about that because we talk about how the Children's Project came around, but I suppose the bigger backstory to that is the struggle you had with your recording company, right, the label?
Yeah, I guess it started in like late 2008. It was right after, it actually started with No Air. No Air was my second highest charting song. And I didn't want to do it. And I was kind of made to do it. And they killed a song that I was already, that was already on the charts to put that song out. And I was just really frustrated. And there were a lot of other things going on in the background. And it just became apparent that this was not going to be a good situation for me going forward.
You didn't want to do it. Why?
I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I hate the song.
There you go.
I didn't really like the song. And yeah. I just felt like if we were going to do a cover, there were so many other songs that we could have covered. And I understand the marketing reason why, because it was already on the pop charts. And so you get like a dual hit and the possibility of crossover and all that kind of thing. Like, I get it. I was like, doesn't make sense. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, you didn't like the song. So it's interesting. You have a fight with the record label. They can freeze your career for a second or two, can't they?
And that's what it was looking like it was about to become. Like, I was asking questions about a second album, and they were like, oh, I think we're going to just record a couple more and re-release your first. And, you know, and at that point, the album had been out for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, okay, I see where this is going. And so I embarked on what turned into almost 2 year legal battle to really get free.
Yeah.
And in that time, you know, my husband and I reconnected, and he wasn't my husband at the time, but we reconnected and got married, and I had my daughter, and, you know, I kind of just took a break. Like, I was just like, I've done this for a while, and I'm tired of fighting. And so, you know, I was like, I'll be a mama and I'll bake bread or something. And and I did that for about 9 months. And then I was like, okay, I have to sing. And so the children's album was kind of like me sticking my toe back in the water to see if I liked the temperature.
Yeah.
So,
and you did.
And I did.
Well, if your bread's as good as your music, you got two careers
going. Well, thank you. No, you know what? Actually, I have become a much better cook. Like, anyone who knew me prior to 2007, I'm sorry. Because it's much better now. So,
well, that's good, too. So the domestic chores, you've gotten that all figured out. You're working with your child, and you think to yourself, hey, I could do some children's music.
Yes.
It's kind of safe. You did it. And then you make the plunge, and you say, wait a minute, I want to get back into the big time.
Yeah, I after doing Best Day Ever and kind of the response that we got, I was like, okay, I think I'm ready. I think I'm mentally ready to do this, because I had psyched myself out for a long time.
Really?
Like, I developed a lot of anxiety around performing, and every, it just, the whole ordeal just kind of freaked me out. And so, yeah.
Can I ask you how much of that was because of, again, all the publicity around it, or just the tension of working with this legal fight over music?
Or? Well, it's both, because you go from being, you know, on one side, you go from being this anonymous person that's making music to now you're like kind of a personality, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's fun. You kind of cease to be real to people. And, you know, the internet is a really funny place. Mm-hmm. And my publicist gave me some of the best advice that I still follow to this day. Don't Google yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And because I called her at 3 o'clock in the morning one time, and I was like, they're mad at me on this chat board. And I don't know why they're saying these things. And I kind of got a complex a little bit.
Yep.
And, you know, and you just feel like people don't like you, and you're not good enough, and you're fat, and you're ugly, and you're this, and why is she wearing that, and why is she doing this, and I heard that she was like this. And so you just kind of, just, you know, and radio touring is not easy either, and you know, you're always, as a musician, especially when you're trying to pursue it on a larger scale, you are always trying out. Like, every day is an audition. And every time you open your mouth is you saying, do you like me? Do you like this? You want to hear some more?
Well, I tell you what, you have passed the audition.
Thank you.
Here.
Yes.
We liked you very much, and we'd like to leave a little time for you to play one more song. But first, I want to tell everybody where they can hear you. And thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Singer-songwriter Reese Palmer and acoustic guitarist Charles Newkirk. You can see Reese perform at Durham Central Park tonight at 5:30, Dorothea Dix Park in Raleigh, July 23rd. We've got all that stuff at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton-Ormond. Robin Copley is our technical director with help from Al Wadarski. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director, and North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, Reese Palmer.
So this is a new song. This is from Revival, and this is a protest song, very appropriate for now. It's called Seeds.
Brothers and sisters, don't believe what you've been sold. They can bury your body, but never take your soul. They built you a prison and locked up your mind. Made you think you're nothing and filled your head with lies. Can't feel too free, act too proud, shine too bright, speak too loud. But when they try to cut you down, that's when you gotta stand your ground. When they're burying dreams, we pushing up through concrete. We growing where they can't see. These roots run deep, 'cause we are seeds. And when we rise up, no weapon can stop us. No wall can block us. No hate can stop us. We are seeds. Yeah. Mothers and fathers, ancestors of this earth, bring your strength and wisdom, teach your children what they're worth. 'Cause armed with truth and